Chapter 40. Ragabol was at his wit's end. The Sea Rat crew had begun to desert. He kicked out at Fersen, a rat he had posted on the main gate, screaming,
"What in the name of thunder do you mean? No beast have got by all day. Do you unlock this gate for anything?"
Fersen cringed against the gate, which he had guarded faithfully on his captain's orders.
"On my oath, Captain, I've kept the gate tight locked."
Bol glared this way and that, slashing at the air with his scimitar.
"The wall tops are too high for them to jump, so how they got out? Ringe, what do you think?"
Ringe, who had been close to Bol all day, shrugged.
"What about those little gates, Captain? There's one in the middle of each of the three outer walls. I bet they went through them, eh?"
The Sea Rat Captain's gold fangs flashed as he snarled.
"I told Argob to post guards on those wall gates this morning. Go and see if they're still there."
Ringe sidled out of the scimitar's range.
"They had to stand in plain sight of the windows, Captain. That big striped dog took the three of them out with his arrows."
Ragabol peered around the wall buttress, which was sheltering him and his two crew rats from the abbey windows.
"Get in the gatehouse, both of you, quick!"
The three rats crouched, swerving in a dead run around the buttress. They made it into the gatehouse and slammed the door. The timbers shook as an arrow hit the door, its barbed point showing through the wood. Fersen wailed.
"We're all dead, Maester, when we stay in this place. There ain't nowhere to hide from the striped dog."
One icy glare from his captain was sufficient to frighten the Sea Rat into silence. Bol looked from one to the other, his face deadly calm, his voice low.
"What's the number of crew left, you reckon, Ringe?"
The rat thought for a moment.
"Just over a score, Captain. That's counting those three."
Since early that day, Ragabol had been scheming furiously. His back was against the wall, but he was determined that eventually he would triumph. Then it came to his mind in a flash. He knew that he had the answer. All he had to do was convince his crew. Slumping down in an armchair, he shook his head sadly, acting more like one of the Sea Rat messmates than their captain.
"No more than a school left out of 50, eh? I'll tell you, mates, 'tis a sorry day. I suppose every one of you wants to see the back of this place now. Speak up, I won't arm you."
Fersen summoned up his courage.
"Aye, Captain, they're all saying we're dead by seven we stars at this abbey. Ain't that right, Ringe?"
The other rat nodded.
"Aye, mate, getting away from here is a sensible thing to do, sure enough."
Ragabol gave a rueful little smile, as if in agreement.
"Maybe you're right. But just think, mates, if we'd have killed the striped dog and won, eh? Redwall would have been ours. The good life, me buckos. Every beast of us be living like kings now, with slaves, loot, victuals, and a place to call home for the winter. Strange how things turn out, ain't it? Now, we've got to cut and run, all because of one striped dog, who should have been dead now by rights. Aye, we've got no ship, we're a season's march from saltwater, and I've lost near a score and a half of the best sea rats a captain ever had. Now we've got nothing, we'll have to tramp the land like beggars."
Ringe and Fersen had never seen their captain like this before. They shuffled their footpaws and tails awkwardly. Then Bol dropped a single word.
"Unless..."
Both crew rats were immediately curious.
"Unless what, Captain?"
"Have you got your plan, Captain?"
Ragabol leaned forward, his eyes gleaming craftily.
"Ho, mates, I've got a plan all right. Now hearken to me and listen."
Abbot Carroll and Torren were sitting in the kitchens. They looked up as Martha entered. The Ottercook indicated a heap of arrows lying ready on the table.
"Does he want more shafts?"
The hermaid shook her head.
"Not at the moment. Grandmum Girdle and I have piled arrows at every windowsill."
The abbot poured her a beaker of cold mint tea.
"What's going on out there, Martha? You and old Girdle are the only ones who can get close to Lunner. What's he up to?"
Martha took a sip of the tea.
"It's all quiet at the moment. He's roaming the upper corridors, watching from the windows. It's dreadful out there. Dead sea rats by the pond, on the walls and by the orchard. I think a few of them have deserted, gone through the east wall gate into the woods. Lorna is still prowling about watching the grounds, though he seems to have calmed down a little. Oh, it was frightening just to set eyes on him this morning."
Torren brought out a stool for Martha to sit upon.
"Mayhaps the sea rats are getting ready to leave. Or it might only be the calm afore the storm. Who knows what Ragabol's got in that evil brain? Another scheme, perhaps? We'll just have to sit and wait. What do you think, Martha?
The hermaid rested her weary footpaws. It had not been an easy day so far, running up and down stairs, keeping the badger supplied with arrows.
I think it's gone too quiet, Torrin. But who knows how things will turn out? Like you say, we'll have to wait and see.
Sister Setiver had been listening from the kitchen doorway.
Oh, all this waiting. Every beast's keeping busy again. They're all doing in Cavern Hall, making arrows, even the dubbins. I've come to make some food for them. Most of us have not taken a bite since breakfast.
Torrin busied himself, glad for something to do.
Leave it to me, sister. We'd forgotten about victuals today. Gervil's out in Martha. We should have realised we had no cook.
Abbot Carroll climbed down from his stool.
Here, let me help you, Torrin. It's not right that my Redwallers should go hungry, even in times like these.